Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of the Morning Devotional. My name is Pastor William Hill. I'm the pastor of Providence Church, that is a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America located in Evansville, Indiana. So if you're in this area at any time and you'd like to visit, we'd be glad to have you come and worship God with us each Sunday morning at 11 a.m. We are in season two of the Morning Devotional. Today is Monday, October 26th, 2020. This is edition number 24. We are currently looking at the Sermon on the Mount, and we have been discussing the Beatitudes, and we have worked our way now through Matthew 5. We come this morning to verses 27 through 30. But let's pray together before we begin, and then we'll look at these very pointed words of the Savior contained in this sermon. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you this morning to study your word, to consider it, even as we are briefly doing, we pray that even in this brief period that we might be encouraged to think more deeply upon these matters, that you would indeed help us to understand your word and to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive us for our sins and our transgressions against you. We would pray that you now would help us, that you would grant us your spirit as you've promised to do. We do pray for your people. We pray for your church and ask that you would purify and cleanse her and make her that spotless bride ready for her husband. We pray for the advancement of the gospel, even this day, as your people serve you, as they seek to glorify you, that your kingdom would come, your will would be done on earth, even as it's done in heaven. So help us now, Lord, be gracious to us, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, we are in Matthew 5, verses 27 through 30. Let me read these verses for you this morning. We read there, in the words of Christ, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away, for it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away, for it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. As I noted already, these are very pointed words of Christ. He has now turned from the subject of anger, bitterness that roots up in the heart of man, causes division and causes disunity within the church, and how we are encouraged to reconcile with one another, that we might not sin by murdering our brothers in our hearts. He now turns to another matter of the heart. Indeed, all of the matters that Jesus deals with in this sermon are really heart matters, aren't they? And so we have very clearly here a very pointed heart matter. It's aimed at men, particularly because men struggle with, I think, this particular sin more than the female of the species. However, when I say that, I am not dismissing the fact that lust can occur within any human heart, male or female. And so we need to consider these as serious as they are, and we need to take note of the danger that Jesus places before us in these words. Let's begin just looking at verse 27. You have heard that it was said, there's that formula that Christ uses throughout this sermon, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. Now, where was that said? Well, clearly, if we jump back into the Old Testament, and we consider the first giving of the law in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 14, we read there, you shall not commit adultery. Okay, this is the seventh commandment. It follows after the sixth commandment. And in our sermon, Jesus is following that order. And here we have, in summary fashion, in Exodus 20, 14, you shall not commit adultery. Now, the problem, of course, here is that some would argue, and wrongly so, that this prohibition is against the physical act of adultery. Now, that is certainly true. Any adulterous relationship that is, of course, defined by a relationship that occurs outside the bounds of marriage. That is, if a husband or a wife is involved in some illicit relationship with another person that is not their spouse, then they are committing adultery. That also applies, friends, to relationships that are that aren't bound by marriage. For instance, if you are dating, if you are involved in a relationship with someone and you are involved in illicit sexual issues, then you are committing adultery. So in the giving of the law in Exodus 20:14, we have the summary. And Jesus now takes that summary, and he, again, as he did with the issue of anger, he presses this home in the into the matters of the heart, which then he expands, of course, and gives to us a fuller understanding of what that commandment, that seventh commandment, actually teaches us as Christians. Our shorter catechism is extremely helpful in this area when it seeks to expound in brief these commands. And so we read in the shorter catechism, the Westminster Shorter Catechism, question 70, which is the seventh commandment? Well, the seventh commandment is, thou shalt not commit adultery, as we've read. Question 71, what is required in the seventh commandment? The seventh commandment requireth the preservation of our own and our neighbor's chastity in heart, speech, and behavior. And so, of course, it begins there. The answer starts with the issue of the heart, because that's from the source of which all sins spring. And so if one's wrestling with this particular sin, it's really a heart problem, it's a heart issue, and it needs to be repented of at that level. Otherwise, behavior will not change. It's not a matter of behavior modification, it's a matter of heart modification. And so we are to preserve ourselves, our own, and our neighbor's chastity in heart, in speech, and in behavior. This means that in application, it means lewd, coarse conversations of a sexual nature or connotation in joking manner or otherwise is forbidden in this commandment. And we see that often, maybe not in your own life, maybe it doesn't proceed from your own lips, but when we engage in watching entertainment today, it's almost impossible to not take note of these kinds of lewd, coarse, suggestive conversations that are in violation of God's demands. And so our speech needs to be governed. Of course, that flows from the heart. And then the catechism discusses the issue of behavior. And that is, of course, any acting out on that kind of relationship and in that kind of manner that would be outside the bounds of which God has established. So it goes on, question 72, what is forbidden in the seventh commandment? The seventh commandment forbiddeth all unchaste thoughts, words, and actions. Again, even thinking upon unchaste things violates the very command that God has given to us. If we turn over to the larger catechism, we see it expanded even further. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time doing this, just for time's sake, but we read in question 138 of the larger catechism, what are the duties required in the seventh commandment? The duties required in the seventh commandment are chastity in body, mind, and affections, words, and behavior, and the preservation of it in ourselves and others. Watchfulness over the eyes and all the senses, temperance, keeping of chaste company, modesty in apparel. Now that's an interesting subject in our world today. Modesty in apparel. What is modesty? Right? That's the zillion-dollar question. What is modesty? Well, let me just give you a really quick definition that I often use, especially for ladies. This doesn't just apply to them, but typically it lands in their lives. Modesty, any dress that forces or causes men to move their eyes away from your face. Now, this doesn't excuse the men for having wandering eyes. But sisters, it's difficult at times as a man when ladies dress in a very suggestive manner. And though it's not your fault necessarily that the men sin, help your brothers out. Love your brothers and dress in a modest way. If you're not sure what that is, ladies, ask your husband. Is this okay to wear? If you have daughters, men, fathers, you know, be mindful, watchful over your young ladies as to how they dress, especially as they dress in public. Modesty in apparel, marriage by those that have not the gift of continency, conjugal love and cohabitation. That means living together, which is a popular thing today. Living together, not married. Diligent labor in our callings, shunning all occasions of uncleanness and resisting temptation thereunto. And then it goes on, question 139. It's somewhat lengthy, but I'll just read it with some brief comments. What are the sins forbidden in the seventh commandment? The sins forbidden in the seventh commandment, besides the neglect of the duties required that we just read in question 138, are adultery, fornication, rape, incest, sodomy, and all unnatural lusts. Unnatural lusts. That means homosexual desires are forbidden by the seventh commandment. It's not merely the acting of the homosexual desires; it's the actual desire itself that causes one to fall in this category. Unnatural lusts, all unclean imaginations, thoughts, purposes, and affections, all corrupt or filthy communication, or listening thereunto. If you're having a conversation with somebody and the conversation gravitates in this direction, you should put an end to it or walk away. Wanton looks, impudent or light behavior, immodest apparel, prohibiting of lawful and dispensing with unlawful marriages, allowing, tolerating, keeping of stews and resorting to them, entangling vows of single life, that monastic vow that one won't ever get married. Undue delay of marriage, having more wives or husbands than one at the same time, that's polygamy. Unjust divorce or desertion. The Bible gives clear guidance on those areas, in those areas. Idleness, gluttony, drunkenness, unchaste company, lascivious songs, books, pictures, dancing, stage plays, and all other provocations to or acts of uncleanness, either in ourselves or others. And so there we have the entertainment industry being indicted by the seventh commandment when it wanders into these lascivious types of behavior and conversations that are not helpful to the soul. I don't need to remind you that our souls are not made of titanium. And so this seventh commandment is very serious, and it's one that the book of Proverbs refers to as Solomon warning his son about these matters. It tells him that if you engage in these behaviors, it will lead to death. Now, Jesus in Matthew 5, he says that if you engage in these behaviors, that it lands one in the throes of hell. It is destructive in every respect. And so Jesus points to the heart as the problem. You shall not commit adultery, he says, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery in his heart. And so it's one thing to be attracted to women, men. That is natural. You're supposed to be. Women are to be attracted to men. You're supposed to be. That's how God made us. But when that attraction crosses the line and ends into the area, it lands in the area of lust, and I don't need to describe that for you. You know what that is. Then you have broken the seventh commandment. You have sinned in your heart, and you need to deal with that. Now, it's a lifelong battle, but it needs to be dealt with. Better to tear out your eyes than to land in hell. Now, Jesus is not here advocating for masochism. He's not suggesting you should actually plunge your eyes out of your head. He's using hyperbolic language to emphasize the seriousness of this, that as one continues to engage in this kind of behavior, the only end for them is death and ruin and hell itself. Better to cut off your eyes, or cut out your eyes, or cut off your arm than to sin against God. So these are very weighty things. And so men especially, I would encourage you to think deeply upon this and discipline your mind and your eyes and your heart to keep your focus where it belongs, not looking about and noticing about and allowing your imagination to run amok. We are sinners. We are prone to these things, and we need the grace of God to overcome them. Well, I trust these times are a benefit to you. I hope they are. And if you have any questions for me, feel free to email me. That information is there before you on the screen. Until Tuesday, may God richly bless you and help you as you seek to serve Him.